The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
The shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Morning Tide. Ted Ramey back with you. As you can hear, I am still dealing with laryngitis, so I'm not going to give you too much of my own personal takes today. You're going to hear some post-game audio. You're going to hear some audio from a couple different sources today. But, you know, for the Sharks last night, that's got to be one that they are looking at from a couple of different angles. You lose 8-3 on the road on the second night of a back-to-back. If you were a good team in the NHL, you could just write it off as injuries and the second night of a back-to-back, tired legs, whatever. You move on to the next one. But for the San Jose Sharks, this is the third consecutive season in which they have started out with five consecutive games without getting a win. And while we can point to the first few games of this year and say they had a chance to win against St. Louis and probably should have won against St. Louis, in game number two, they did not give up a goal to Anaheim until halfway through the third period. They probably should have won that game. Game three, Dallas, they get another point out of that one just like they did against St. Louis. It goes to a shootout. And then you look at the last two games, bad slow starts in Chicago and bad slow start in Winnipeg. For the Sharks, they're looking at a lot of reverberations from what we saw from them a year ago, a team that was prone to having bad starts and finished off periods poorly and started off the second and third period poorly to where they were just not ready when the gun went off. And that's something that probably has the Sharks seeing ghosts a little bit. And I would think that, you know, right now they would want to stop everything that's going on. And, you know, Winnipeg is a very good team. I don't think there's any doubting that Winnipeg is very, very good. They are one of the best teams in the NHL. I have no doubt about their ability this year, but you shouldn't just get blown out because you're going up against a good team. The Sharks are populated by professionals. The Sharks have some injury losses right now. They did not have two very key players last night in Eklund and Will Smith, and then Macklin Celebrini has been out for a couple of games dealing with the injury that he's had since game one. We don't know the timeline on his return, but ultimately that's got to be part of the issue that the Sharks are trying to fix. And I understand that there was a lot of hype going into this year and people thought the Sharks would be better, and I think the Sharks are a better team than they were a year ago, but you know, you have to look at things from a certain light right now. They are still in the process of a rebuild. They are still without their captain, and nobody knows when or if he's coming back. They are still trying to figure things out. This is a new regime. This is a new start. And ultimately, I look at what San Jose is going through right now and hope that, you know, they can take strides throughout this season. And one of the things I've wondered about is, you know, whether or not they are going to be able to get substantially better than last year. And I still feel like they should. I still feel like they have that in them. But when you're dealing with injuries, when you are not the team that you thought you would be, even when you're without a Logan Couture and a Mark-Edward Vlasic and a Shakir Mukhamudulin, you know, that's part of the issue. And I think later on in the season, when you do get to see Yaroslav Askarov, when you do get to see Shakir Mukhamudulin, I think that that will add more to what the Sharks are trying to do right now. I think that will add more to their overall arsenal of players that they'll have out there on the ice. But for the time being, they're just trying to figure it out. And I know that sounds like a relatively easy excuse, but you look at last night and you talk about guys that weren't here in this lineup last year. Tyler Toffoli, Daniil Gushin, yes, we saw him a little bit, but he was not by any means a consistent player. We just got a couple of looks at him. Barclay Goodrow, Alex Wenberg, Carl Grundstrom, Ty Dellandrea, Jake Walman, Cody Ceci. That's eight players. And then you go with Vanacek, that's nine. Vanacek was not expected to play last night, but we're still talking about a large number of players that were not in the Sharks lineup a year ago. And then you also talk about the fact that they don't have Will Smith, who, even though people have been wondering why he hasn't been more impactful, I think he showed a lot better in game four against Chicago. You don't have Macklin Celebrini. You don't have Will Eklund. There's a lot that the Sharks didn't have last night, and I think that ended up impacting what happened out there on the ice. And I would say that it's a one-off, except for we've seen the Sharks over the last couple seasons get blown up from time to time over the course of the season. What I'll really be paying attention to is what happens on Sunday against Colorado, because that's a big bounce back and they need to make sure they're ready to go from the moment the puck hits the ice. Last night, the Avalanche did get an overtime win against the Ducks for their first win of the season. They were down 2-0 and came back to win 4-3. And, you know, I'm sure that the Colorado Avalanche, after starting off as poorly as they did, were looking at the Ducks and the Sharks as two teams to get right against. And so for San Jose, they've got to say, no, you're not going to get right against us. You're going to be in our house. We're going to make this difficult. And I know there's always the saying, well, the first game back after a long road trip, well, it was only a three-game road trip, let's be honest. This was not some extensive, endless trip for this team. They've got to be able to just put forth a good performance and shut it down. And that's got to start by eliminating early goals against.
Winnipeg takes off down the right wing side. Nikolaj Ehlers can really fly. He's in the offensive zone, and he swings away from a check in the corner, throws it back to DeMello. Cross ice, Morrissey, score! Nikolaj Ehlers created that with the speed down the wing. He curled in the corner, but got it back, and Dylan DeMello wasted not even a split second. He wanted to get it on the stick of Josh Morrissey. Morrissey beats Blackwood at 1:59 of the first. That's from the left circle, and it's 1-0 Winnipeg.
You're on the road. You start chasing a game. 1:59 into it, that's going to be a tough night. And then 9:25 into the first period, they go up 2-0. At that point, that's a wake-up call for San Jose, as Tyler Toffoli, who's been the Sharks' most consistent player this season and proving to be a great investment by Mike Greer, gets his fourth goal of the season.
San Jose's Gushin won a battle, got it to Toffoli, now gets it back behind the net, feeds it back to the point to Wallman, who winds up, who shoots, that's blocked by Iafallo. Rebound near side, Toffoli fights for it, now work free here by the Sharks. Wennberg to the point, here's Wallman to the left circle, behind the back pass by Granlund. Wennberg shoots and scores! That was tipped in front of a net. 8:17 to play in period number one. A power play goal for the San Jose Sharks. And one of the players in front got his stick on it. I think it's going to be former Winnipeg Jet Tyler Toffoli.
So Tyler Toffoli continues to perform at an absolutely phenomenal level. And I think everyone should be very happy with that investment in San Jose. But then right after that, you go down 3-1.
Ehlers down the right wing, gunning in, shoot, score! Second goal of the game for Nikolaj Ehlers. He just put on the Jets, got across the blue line, and let a shot rip, taking a cross-ice feed. And it is 3-1 Winnipeg, and there goes that extra energy jolt the Sharks received from a Toffoli goal moments before.
And I guess the positive aspect out of that one is that it wasn't a power play goal like the 2-1 goal that put them up at 9:25 and the 4-1 goal that put them up at 18:48. I mean, this is just across the board a performance that the Sharks were not expecting to have. And you know, you can see the overall fatigue on the team when they are reaching for those penalties, when they are making bad plays, because I think that you're just trying to reach, you're trying to get a little bit extra that you're not getting out of your physical abilities, and that's when you take all these bad penalties, which has been part of the Sharks' narrative for especially these past two games, and they've been giving up power play goals, they've been taking too many penalties. The PK had previously been good, but guess what? If you test yourself that much, you are going to fall back. You are going to give up goals. You are going to bleed. And that's just what happened to San Jose. And then to start off the second period, you have another early goal, and you're just thinking, what's going on out there? And from this point on, the Sharks did show more signs of life. Luke Cunningham got a goal, his first of the year, which is something they need from him. His offense needs to get rolling.
Behind the net, Delandria trying to stick handle with it again. Back to the point, here comes the shot, and it's in front. Luke Cunningham, score! Luke Cunningham! Nice keep in by Cody Ceci. Delandria gets him the puck, and Luke Cunningham in a great position. Beats Hellebuck. That makes the score of the Jets 5 and the Sharks 2.
And then Fabian Zetterlund continued to have early season success, and I give him some credit for that because he was a consistent performer all last year, and he's picking up where he left off, showing that that was not a fluke as he picked up his third goal of the season.
30th goal of Cole Perfetti's career, and the Sharks move in the other way, and they score! Fabian Zetterlund moving down the wing, getting a pass, and how about that response? There are some Sharks fans in the crowd that are really happy to see that, as the Sharks took the puck right after that goal by Cole Perfetti, and Zetterlund driving down the center lane gets the pass perfectly on his tape, and he snaps it by Connor Hellebuck, and that is a goal the Sharks desperately needed.
You know, from that point on, it's not garbage time per se, but for Winnipeg. They were having a good time, and we heard Nico Sturm talk about it after the game, and you don't want to have the opposition having a good time against you out there on the ice. The Sharks just continue to bleed. It all wrapped up with an 8-3 final. Let's hear what Dan Rusinowski and Alex Stalock had to say after this one came to a conclusion.
Final 6 seconds of the game ticking off as they drop the puck at center, and it's into the zone. And the fans that are here that aren't taking their pictures with the Vezina and the Jennings trophies stand up as one man and applaud Connor Hellebuyck in his 500th career start. He comes up with an 8-3 win. Final shots on goal, 36-22 in favor of the Winnipeg Jets. So the Sharks had 6 shots on goal in the third period, total of 22. And the Jets had 7, a total of 36. 4 goals were scored, 1 for the Sharks and 3 for Winnipeg. And as we've said, it is a night to forget for the San Jose Sharks on this trip, even more so than the game last night in Chicago.
Yeah, I think a lot of learning lessons out of these games, though. You know, you look at the Dallas game, they're right in it all the way to the end. They lose in a shootout, which that goes either way any night. And then, you know, you play against a Colorado team that's playing in an exciting atmosphere. It's their home opener. And you fall early, and you learn, hey, we got to start the game. We can't come out flat because all of a sudden we're chasing all game. Now you have an opportunity to come back less than 24 hours later, prove that you learned your lesson, and you kind of saw the same thing happen tonight. The table's tilted early. Winnipeg gets on the board, and when this building gets loud, the ice tilts. They get on the power play, and again, game of catch-up. You kind of felt it was close a little bit in the second when it's 5-2. You get a power play. Sharks have some looks. A puck gets behind Hellebuyck just away from the goal line. It doesn't go in. Go into the locker room, 5-2. You come out. They score, and it's, you're not catching up on that one with this team. They know how to win. They know how to put teams away. They got a veteran group, and that's why they started the season 4-0.
First career 4-point games for both Vladislav Nemestikov and Neil Pionk. And the San Jose Sharks allowed 3 power play goals in 7 attempts tonight. Last night in Chicago, they allowed a couple of power play goals in 7 attempts. So it's only the second time in Sharks history the Sharks have been shorthanded 7 times in consecutive games. The last time was in March of 2016 when they were in a definite different position in the standings. And it was a tough night to swallow, but a great night if you're a Winnipeg Jets fan. Once again, the final score. Jets 8, Sharks 3. We'll be back on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
And like Alex Stalock said, it's a veteran group. They know how to win, and Winnipeg did just that against San Jose. All right, I wanted to give you the interview that Drew Remenda did as a sit-down with the head coach of the San Jose Sharks, Ryan Warsofsky, before the trip. Some good insight from Warzo, and I know that some people are a little bit down on everything right now, but I do think he has the ability to get the Sharks turned around and pointed in the right direction.
This was a job that was highly coveted by a lot of people. There were a lot of candidates and good ones out there to be the head coach of the San Jose Sharks. What made you so special? Where did you connect with Mike Greer, his staff, Mr. Plattner, Jonathan Becker? Where did you connect with them?
I think from being here the last couple of years and seeing what this group, this organization has gone through, probably helped me a little bit in knowing what they needed. It was obviously, we were broken, you know, there was a lot of things that we had gone through, I had been part of and felt it and went through it. And, you know, I explained my vision with Mike and to, you know, Jonathan and Mike's staff of what I envisioned this team looking like and how we need to play and how we need to correct some of the, you know, issues that had happened and not just X's and O's, more so the mentality of the group. Of the give that we had, and you know, I obviously had won in my career, and I think that helps a little bit because you go through those experiences and you know what it takes to win, and not just I haven't done it at the National Hockey League level, but winning is winning, and you know, it doesn't matter what level you've won at, whether it's major junior, you know, NCAA, American Hockey League, or the NHL. Usually, there's a common theme there of what it should look like. So. But I think looking back, what the biggest thing was is I just felt like I knew this group and I kind of understood what they needed. And I think that's where I felt most comfortable explaining those thoughts to Mike and his staff.
At the press conference, you were emotional.
Yeah.
How long had you been dreaming, thinking, wanting that position of a head coach in the National Hockey League?
Yeah, I mean, I think I go back to when I was probably 16 years old, and Mike Sullivan was coaching the Boston Bruins, and I would be in there in morning skates, and we'd be sitting in his office talking about players and preparation for the game that night. And that kind of got me thinking and kind of knowing I wanted to work in hockey. But as I got into coaching, I never really sat there and said, like, hey, I want to get to the next level. I always just kind of focused where my feet were. If I was an assistant coach in the ECHL, I'd focus on my role in that with that team. I think I tried not to let myself get wrapped up in what was down the line. And I think that helped me a lot. But of course, in the back of my head, I wanted to be a head coach of the National Hockey League. And, you know, that's what made me so emotional at that time, is all the people that helped you get here, from my wife and my kids to my parents. The grind of it from, you know, the ECHL to the American Hockey League, and the moves and all everything in between. You know, again, this is, for me, was a dream at 16 years old, where a lot of coaches, they've played in the league and they've had a long careers, and they kind of just kind of tipped, you know, put their foot in and see if they wanted to coach. And for me, this was a dream for me, just like it was for a lot of people to play in the National Hockey League. So that's probably what hit me the most.
Has the dream not changed, but has the dream struck you as reality that, boy, there's a lot more than just putting on a suit and standing behind the bench?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. Like, honestly, it hadn't hit me. Maybe the Vegas and the draft floor had hit me a little bit. And then last night, just driving to the rink is when it really, just be by yourself and you're kind of in your own thoughts and you're thinking about it. And then when the puck dropped, it felt like riding a bike a little bit. It's like there was no other game, and you just kind of move on. You prepare your team and you coach, and you try to find your matchups, and you try to make your changes and your adjustments as you go. But I don't know if it's even hit me totally yet. It will hit me maybe when we start, you know, getting this thing going in the right direction.
Well, speaking of that, to start things off, we ask the players to be ready for camp, to be ready coming into training camp, be ready for the season. What did the coaching staff, what did you and the coaching staff do to be ready for training camp?
Yeah. Well, we met a lot. We met a lot at development camp here in San Jose. After we finalized the staff, it was right to work. We probably worked longer hours in the June and July months, just so we were ultra prepared for training camp. And then as you get into August, you have your weekly Zoom calls to make sure everyone's kind of up to date. And we probably got here September 1st, mm-hmm. a couple of us a little bit earlier. And we would, again, long hours of just making sure. For me, my biggest thing was make sure we're prepared. And the players are going to see that. They're going to feel that. There's going to be energy in here. We want high pace, high tempo practices. And I thought we executed that pretty well. And we'll go back and review it and things that we liked and didn't like at some point. But we've got to continue to move forward. And now we're in the regular season. And time's of essence right now. We met this morning, and before you know it, it's 10 o'clock and you got to get going. So you got to manage your time really well. That's one thing I've kind of learned. And experience, you get pulled in a lot of different directions, and you got to make sure your foundation is what you want it to be.
So, okay, well, let's get to that. What is the vision for you of this team under the Ryan Warsawski regime, for lack of a better word, under coaching? What is your vision from where we are to where you obviously want to take us?
I think a team that's just ultra competitive, and there's no give in our game. And yeah, we're going to go through some ups and downs, some adversity game to game, period to period, stretches to stretches, and we got to stick together as a group and continue to get better every single day. We have a chance to get better today. We have to get better today. That might be a video session. It might be a morning skate. Whatever we are in that situation, we have to continue to improve and push forward together. We can't go off with our forwards and separate from our defense, our coaches separate from our forwards. It's all one of us together. You know, we know what it looks like. We just saw it in the second period. It was pretty close how we wanted to play. We just got to bottle that up and do it longer and longer stretches. And I'll say it 100 times, when we don't have our game and we've lost momentum in the game, we've got to simplify our game. That is a crucial moment for this organization to get out of where we're at right now, to start winning hockey games, is to limit that time when we don't have momentum and simplify our game. And we want to get the momentum more in hockey games. You know, I just felt like, not to go back to years past, but we never could get momentum in hockey games and get on teams and suffocate them in the offensive zone. And not so much scoring goals, but when you do that shift after shift, now you've started getting to teams' heads a little bit, and you got the mental approach going. So there's a lot of different areas we got to get to, and we got a lot of work to do.
Again, all that audio courtesy NBC Sports California. And Warzo, again, a very interesting, thoughtful character. Love to hear some of his thoughts on things. But more than anything, I just love to see him get that first win as a head coach in the National Hockey League. The Sharks are home once again on Sunday against the Avalanche, who have not been playing great hockey. So I think that does present an opportunity for San Jose to get their first win of the season. And if we do look ahead for the San Jose Sharks and at their schedule, there are winnable games. They're going to play Colorado on Sunday. Then on Tuesday, they have the Ducks. That's a winnable game. Then on Thursday, they've got the Kings. That's a winnable game. Vegas is going to be tough, but actually the Sharks have played Vegas pretty tough over recent memory. They've got Utah on the 28th, the Kings at home on the 29th, and then Chicago home on the 31st. So hopefully that will be the return time by that point of Macklin Celebrini. You'll get Macklin versus Bedard. I think everybody in the NHL wants to see that. And I think that represents opportunity for San Jose. But then, you know, we look ahead towards the month of November. They're going to be home against Vancouver, home against Columbus, home against Minnesota. And then they go out onto the East Coast. They're going to be at New Jersey, at Philadelphia, at the Rangers, at the Pens, home versus Detroit, at Dallas, at St. Louis. And then they do get home for some home cooking against Buffalo, L.A., Ottawa, Seattle on a Saturday, on a Friday at 12:30, and then they go back out on a Saturday to see Seattle on a Saturday night. So that's a little bit of weird quirk of scheduling, but I'll take it. Let's hear what Nico Sturm had to say after last night's loss.
Whole game really felt like we were too far away from their guys. It felt like they're coming through the neutral zone, and so, with so much speed, they're breaking out every puck. It was exhausting to play that day because we were so far away from their guys. We're chasing our own zone where we didn't get any grip on them in the neutral zone on the forecheck, and so it just felt like for them it was the easiest night. And so that's exactly what we said. We don't want our nights to feel like anymore is other teams feeling like they're having fun playing against us. But that's probably what it was like tonight.
Another 7 penalties tonight. How exhausting is that to spend so much time on the kill each for these last couple of nights here?
Yeah, obviously they're a highly skilled forward group over there. They've always had a good power play. And, you know, the other thing is you got a lot of players on our team that play big minutes outside of the penalty kill, 5-on-5 power play. And if they have to eat up minutes on a penalty kill, there's not a lot of juice left for them to play even strength or another situation. So obviously it's been way too many penalties these first 5 games. Yeah.
You said, you know, you guys don't want a repeat of last year. How do you guys just avoid this, you know, starting to spiral and getting out of control like last season?
That's a good question. Don't really have the answer for you. If I did, I would have done it last year and the year before that. The truth is we did take a big step back these last 2 games. I thought we looked really, really good the first 3 games of the season. I thought we looked really good in Dallas on the road against a Stanley Cup contender. And then we took 2 massive steps back these last 2 nights. It felt a lot like last year, these last 2 games on the bench again. I'm sure other guys can attest to that. Whereas the first 3 games, there was some confidence in our power play and our penalty kill. And in 5-on-5, we looked up and down the bench. There was a good mojo in the locker room. There was confidence within the group amongst each other. And these last 2 games, felt a lot like last year, honestly.
And that's the thing that I talked about earlier with this team seeing ghosts. That's not where they want to be. That's not where they can be. They simply just need to get this out of their system, one and done, and not repeat it. You want to get beat 5-1, I'm willing to take that. You want to get blanked 6-3, I'll take that. But when you do get down, you know, 5-1 a minute into or 2 minutes into the second period, that's something that can happen because that just has blowout written all over it. When you give up early goals chasing a game on the road, it is just simply not going to end well. I spoke with the play-by-play announcer for Winnipeg yesterday, Paul Edmonds, and I asked him about Tyler Toffoli because Toffoli obviously has been a stud for the Sharks up to this point, and just asked him what he thought about Toffoli now that the Sharks have him.
Well, he was brought in for a reason. I mean, the reason is because of all the the assets that you mentioned and the accolades that he has. And he's a guy that seems to have everybody kind of gravitate to him. That's what I noticed about him last year in the short period of time that he was here, that guys just generally like him. And of course, he's got all that resume behind him. And then it's going to help the young guys with the San Jose Sharks, of course, the Celebrinis and certainly the Smiths. That goes a long way in helping those guys understand how to be good NHLers from solid veterans that have some cups and that have won and have put up 30 goal seasons multiple times. And he's off to a great start. 3 goals and 4 points, as you mentioned. So you know, the Jets will be kind of keying in on him here tonight. But he was a wonderful Jet for his brief time that he was here last year, helped them during the regular season. And then certainly, of course, he was just part of what the Jets weren't able to do in the playoffs last year. And then they just decided to move on. And so did he. And he finds a great landing zone, certainly for a lengthy contract in the Bay Area.
And it looks like so far it is a brilliant move by Mike Greer, because Tyler Toffoli, again, he's got 4 goals. He's got 2 assists. He's got 6 points through 5 games. He's playing everything you could have expected out of him. Great hockey across the board. And I hope that he gets to do it soon in conjunction with more wins. I also asked Mr. Edmonds about what they're saying about San Jose and how they perceive it in Winnipeg, just to see how much of the messaging that we hear in the Bay Area and on the West Coast makes it to Winnipeg.
Oh, it's not lost here for sure. And I'm really glad that they've decided that, you know, and the fan base and the ownership have collectively said, okay, here's the message from the ownership group. We're going to tear this down. We're going to have a rebuild. Are you with us? The fan base is, yeah, it's time for that. Okay, this will be exciting. You get a couple of great draft picks in Celebrini and Smith already. That kind of creates some excitement around your market. You're going to mix those guys with some veteran guys to remain competitive, but also have those guys learn from that standpoint. So, you know, it's not just, of course, Smith and Celebrini. You're looking at other guys that have been on the roster for a few years, and Eklund, you know, and Zetterlund. You get a Wennberg back in here this year as well. I'm kind of excited about what is the future for the San Jose Sharks, and I can guarantee you this. The Winnipeg Jets are not taking this team lightly, despite the fact that they only have 2 points and haven't registered a win in the 4 starts. If you recall, San Jose and Mackenzie Blackwood, I think, turned aside 36 of 37 in a game where they beat the Jets 2-1 last year, ended up losing 2 other 1-goal games to the Jets. So in the season series last year, despite the fact that it was 2-1 for Winnipeg, the goal differential was +1 for Winnipeg and only -1 for San Jose. So the Jets expect a tight contest once again from the Sharks tonight, because that's all they've seen. Going back to last year when it came to the 3 games in the season series.
So it's gut check time for San Jose now. They have got to come home in this game against Colorado and the upcoming road trip and really try and lock things down and be the team that they know they're capable of being. I think a little bit of rest for Will Smith is probably a good thing as he gets acclimated to life in the NHL. I think William Eklund making sure that he's healthy going into these next couple of games, paramount. I think that, you know, you look at what happened last night, you just got to forget about it. It was not on Mackenzie Blackwood. It's not on Vitek Vanacek. It's what I've been saying throughout the entirety of last year and early this year is that, you know, the stat line that we associate with Mackenzie Blackwood last year was not the reality of his play. There's only so much you can do. You take that many penalties, you put yourself in 5-on-3 situations, you put yourself constantly on special teams to try and kill, you're going to get tired. You're going to wear out your team, and that's what we saw over the course of last night's game. I think the Sharks need to understand that their margin for error is that much smaller, and they need to be a little bit more mentally resilient. I think that it is tough going up against a team like Winnipeg that is that good, that is that potent, that is that capable, but that's the job of being a professional. You've got to be able to, you know, really draw that line in the sand, as it were, and say no more. This is where it ends, and that's got to be what the Sharks' mentality is going into these next few games. Now we will be with you on Sunday afternoon at 4:30 for a live pregame, 5 o'clock go time, as the Sharks play host to the Colorado Avalanche. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.
San Jose's Gushin won a battle, got it to Toffoli, now gets it back behind the net, keeps it back to the point to Wallman, who winds up, who shoots, that's blocked by Iafallo. Rebound near side, Toffoli fights for it, now work free here by the Sharks. Wenberg to the point, here's Wallman to the left circle, behind the back pass by Granlund. Wenberg shoots and scores! That was tipped in front of a net, 8:17 to play in period number one, a power play goal for the San Jose Sharks, and one of the players in front got his stick on it. I think it's going to be former Winnipeg Jet Tyler Toffoli.